It's Thursday morning or Thursday night. It doesn't, who cares what fucking day it is? It's another episode of Staph Infection with lovely, hilarious man, James Adomian.
Thank you.
It's Thursday morning.
I love the. I was going to take this off, but then I saw it on camera and I'm like, I want to be this guy.
Yeah, for the listeners, he's got a suede. I'd explain it as a, I don't know, Indiana Jones hat?
It's somewhere between Indiana Jones and Professor Higgins from My Fair Lady.
Okay, well, you're just going to drop references I've never seen. And then he's got some cool aviators on.
No, but remember, I was in Toronto, and I told you there's a region of Toronto called the Don Valley. And I wanted to appropriate it as like a radio guy. You're listening to Don Valley. And this is what he looks like.
This is exactly what, is what Don Valley looks like, for sure.
It's midnight here in Ontario. I'm Don Valley.
Don Valley is
playing
like
smooth hits for you until 3 a.m.
It's like it's a parkway. It's like R101.
Yes.
You're right. It's not a region. It's a road, pretty much.
But it's unfortunately for you, it's also a guy's name.
It's a guy's name.
It's and a perfect guy's name.
It is a good guy's name. No one's ever made that reference before, I don't
Don
think.
Valley. We'll be back after these messages.
My dad killed a man in the Don Valley, I think so. And he took a shit once and got yelled at.
We've got tickets to give away to Steely Dan.
By the way, you do not reference anything I'm saying at all. I'm like, my dad killed somebody.
No, I got to
like,
get out of the
Steely
character
Dan.
Or I'm never going to get out of it.
Okay.
We're putting him right there.
We have Don Valley the whole time. Your hair looks great. How the hell are you? Are you
Thanks.
In town for a bit? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm in town. I keep going out of town and then coming back. I guess that's the way it works.
That is the way it works.
I was in Toronto recently, San Francisco, and just now in Minneapolis, and it was cold as shit.
You're going to all the fucking cold? Well, San Francisco's not that cold.
But here's the thing, too. I was preparing myself for, like, super cold. Mm-hmm. And so, because I looked at the weather in Minneapolis, and it was saying, like, 27. Well, it was saying negative 17, and then I looked at it, and it was, like, negative 27. The next time I looked at it, I was like, fuck. And I went to REI, and I bought a bunch of stuff. I bought a large amount of money's worth of winter clothes. And I ripped the tags off because I was like, I don't have room in the bag for all these tags.
The tags cardboard, take up the room.
The cardboard that they come in, you know, and all this stuff.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm not returning it. I'm wearing it all. I get there. On the way there, I realize I had the weather app set to Celsius.
Are you
still because I was in Canada. Because I had been in Canada.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and then I had, yeah. And so it was going to be cold. It was cold. But it was
not
like
that cold.
It was negative 15 at the coldest. And I was prepared for like the kind of this kind of jacket that has like goose feathers over your head.
Yeah, and you come in
and you're like, is this Ice Station Cobra? We have your shipment of food for the 3 month period. There's also a comedian here this time.
No one's coming out to the shows. You all fucking bundled up.
Yeah, I was prepared to go like on a documentary, like looking at caribou and polar bears and stuff,
and live inside them. For
so
the
I have
time.
An unused large bag full of like cold weather clothes, and here I live in LA.
And then absurd that you thought the tags took up that much room. That's the craziest
part
of the whole story.
Also, this is something dumb about me. I don't like tags that scratch me.
So no one does.
So very often, no one does.
Well, what do you give her? Hey, you know, I love the back of my neck getting scratched all day
long. Why do they keep putting them on all the clothes?
Because that's what they do.
So I do, like, I've gotten, I think this is me, like, being proactive in my life and getting things done, like, not letting things slag, you know, drag on forever. I go, like, well, as soon as I get new clothes, I'm going to cut the tags off. You can't return them.
You're cutting off like the tags that has the price on it and the tags that are on the back?
All of them, because the companies get worse and worse about it. So like now they're like, you know what? We pride ourselves more than anything on the quality of our tags. They have little hooks on the edge of them.
No,
we've got little hooks. We have little claw scratchers that are built in so that you can't get it off your skin.
It's like a shoehorn to get it on and off the fucking the back of your head.
Yeah, they're getting more complex. And then you have like multilingual versions of the same tag.
Yeah,
I don't need this right here.
No. No, why? The side is crazy.
The side tags.
The side's nuts.
No, I don't need them.
And also, who's ever, like, it's the whole washing instructions. Everything I own goes in the wash and goes directly in the dryer. I'm not hanging shit up.
Right. I'm not living in some kind of suburban laundry paradise where I'm like, mother, today we'll be doing the socks.
See,
I know everything goes in. Everything goes into the same thing. Colors, whites.
Yeah. I put my bath rugs in there. I don't give a shit.
I live in an apartment complex. There's like two washers and two dryers. I'm lucky if they're open. I can't be going like, well, my delicates will be done today. It's time to do my delicates. Everything falls apart. Yeah. They don't last a long time anyway.
No.
What kind of people are these?
It also could be because you're cutting the tags off and there's severe holes in every single item that you own. Don Valley's coming back.
Did you wash this on warm? No one I know.
Nuts. No one I know. Who's doing that?
It's just, I don't know who those people are.
Also, the wash and fold. Have you ever taken to a wash and fold before?
Sure.
Have you?
Sure.
I don't want these people leafing through my pleasantries.
Oh, I see. I did it when I was injured. You'll love to hear this.
Okay.
That's a good way to get into it. I did it when I was injured, and I've seen it when someone was like really sick, that I was like a roommate that was sick, who was like, I can't do laundry. And I was like, well, I could do my laundry then with you if somebody's picking
it up. Wow.
Piggyback? When you piggyback on someone else's injury?
Yeah.
Well, as long as it's getting done, then, you know.
How many cartoon voices are you in right now on TV?
I don't know. I have to pull out my phone, and that's bad television. I'm on Harley Quinn.
Okay, yes.
But see, I don't know which ones have aired yet, so I don't know if I got crucified by a publicist.
Okay.
I'm on Harley Quinn. There's a spinoff show called Noonan's that I'm on.
Okay.
I'm on City Island on PBS.
Oh, that's fun.
Very funny kids cartoon. Harley Quinn, by the way, is on HBO Max. I'm on Looney Tunes.
You're on Looney Tunes?
Yes.
What are you doing on Looney Tunes?
So most of the characters are played by the legendary Eric Bauza, who's a fantastic voice actor. I play the gangster.
Uh-huh.
The gangster who has the big tall hat, the really short gangster with the big tall hat who kidnaps Bugs Bunny. And it first ran in the 40s.
Okay.
And he's modeled on like the character actor George Raft. And so it's the one who's like, shut up, rabbit. And he points a gun at him. He takes him as a hostage.
Shutting up.
So I used to do that voice as a kid when we watched a cartoon, and I got to do it.
That's fun. Did you always want to do voice stuff?
I kind of fell into it, and it made sense because I loved cartoons a lot longer than I should have as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And then like in my teenage years, like I've got to make sure I watch Freakazoid.
I was obsessed with Fairly Odd Parents and SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes, and I had younger brothers, so I watched like SpongeBob. I watched like things that are way younger, too young for me. And then, you know, I did impressions. I did voices. I always knew I was going to be a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I guess I just got booked. I auditioned and got booked for Celebrity Deathmatch, where I played Jimmy Kimmel. And like, remember the claymation? What was that? Was that Adult Swim or Nickelodeon? I forgot what that.
MTV.
It was MTV, and it was a deliberate. It was like claymation, and they have these celebrities fight each other to the death. So I played Jimmy Kimmel.
That's so funny.
It was like decades, and then I started working on his show.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I told him that. He was like, "Oh, that was you."
And that was it. You're like, mm-hmm. End of conversation. Thank you.
I just fell into it. And then like once in a while I would book a cartoon, but it was never a big part of my life. And then it was just like it was a snowball and then cascade. And then like people know you from one thing and they bring you back for another thing.
I know it's so hard to get into that though.
Right.
Once you're in, you're in.
And let's be honest, the comedy career per se has stalled. I'm still at the same level as a stand-up as I was 7 years ago.
No, you're not.
I absolutely am.
No.
You don't see the paperwork at the end of the weekend like I do. But in cartoons, I keep getting more and more and doing better.
I almost feel like I want that instead. I'm trying so fucking hard to get in. I'm one cartoon on HBO Max 10-year-old Tom is the only one I can get on. I was like, five voices for it.
That's
now. That's
how
I can't.
It starts. You did five voices?
Yes.
Then why are you complaining?
Well, because it's like, they're small parts.
You're a young woman.
Like,
you're 18.
I'm
like,
18 years of age.
Your career is just starting out. That's how it starts. Put it
you,
on a reel.
You know so little about women. There's no way you think I'm
I don't know a lot about women, but let me tell you.
Oh, no. It's not Don Valley again.
There's something I know a lot about, and that's women. Women love Steely Dan. More than that, they love Fleetwood Mac, and so do I. You know why? Fleetwood Mac is like Led Zeppelin for girls. Here we go.
Okay, this bit's never going to end.
No, it is, but I'm done. No. Done with it this time.
Done with it. We're going to have to burn the hat and glasses, otherwise this is going to be the whole podcast.
See, now he can just look. Now he can just talk to the camera when he wants to. There he is.
There he is. You're going to have to watch this episode if you're at home listening, because this is a lot of act outs.
Bad radio. And it's okay TV. So what did you ask me if... voiceover stuff. Yeah, you're getting into it. That's
I'm
fine.
I'm trying. But
you get five voices. That's how it starts. You start a reel. You do a reel.
I have a reel, but it's like it's just so hard to get in. And it's so much better than going the road.
It's easier.
Yeah, but then you sit around.
But then you sit around like then you're like getting voiceover money. Like, I'll take another platter of artichokes. Why not? Well, life is grand.
And then you're still fighting for a laundry.
Yes, you're just like eating.
I can eat artichokes.
You're eating
that's so much laundry.
You have a platter of artichokes and like a ham thigh, and you're just like, oh, I have to record a cartoon tomorrow.
So fun. Do you ever do this? I always get worried because I sometimes read for something the other day and it wanted like a Boston accent, which I can't do. Because you can do accents.
Yeah, but Boston.
I do my own voice.
Here's the thing about a Boston accent. Everyone who's ever grown up in Boston gets to make their own cartoon and expects everyone else to be able to do a Boston accent. But it's the dumbest, hardest, weirdest. Like, I didn't do a lot of shows there. I mean, when I want to do it, I just start doing a Family Guy Peter Griffin impression and then just drift off from there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you just key into that. And it's Rhode Island, but it's close enough.
Okay. Because I always feel like I'll do an audition in a weird voice. And then if I booked it, I'm like, I'm fucked. Like, thank God I haven't. Because I'm like, I can't do the voice. I'm doing a voice for 5 seconds, and then like, I can do a Scottish accent, but I can only do it for so long.
But here's the trick. Wherever it is, like, not everybody sounds like they're supposed to in some city.
Yeah.
If you have something set in Atlanta, you could just be a guy.
Yeah.
Hey, here we are. You got to pick you up at Peachtree around 4 o'clock? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, sometimes the people don't have the accent in the city. That also happens.
What's Peachtree? A hotel?
That's like the Don Valley of Atlanta. It's one of the big names of the streets.
Oh, wow. Wow, you're a real street guy.
I'm a real street guy.
So he goes to Toronto. Toronto's a cool fucking city. You stay in the worst area, and I know because my parents' house is right by this area.
Well, that's
the
Dog
Valley.
That's where the comedy club is. Surprise, surprise.
No, it's so far from that. It wasn't that close.
Well, it was like splitting the difference halfway out to where the club was, and there was no hotels directly next to it.
Okay.
And so they were gonna put me up in a classy place downtown, and then I was like, is there anything closer to the hotel? And they were like, well, they were like, Mr. Domian has asked for a closer hotel. And they pull out the dusty book. Of like, it says X on it, like, do not book hotels.
Exactly what it is.
Well, everybody in here has a bell on their front desk. Are you sure? Like, hotels that still have a like, ding.
That's
some
exactly
guy comes
it.
Out like, we got a reservation. Sign the book, please.
And then I sent you places to eat too. Did you get anything? You nothing.
Well, I don't remember. This is like a month ago. I know Toronto. What did you send
I know.
Me to
I think
do?
I sent you to go down to Ossington, or I sent you to go to Saving Grace. It's the best brunch restaurant in Toronto.
Okay. I went to restaurants. I just don't remember the name. Let's just say, yeah, I did it. Okay. I did it.
Wow.
Ossington's a neighborhood, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there.
You've been there.
Yeah, I danced around that whole place. I went to Pizza Pizza.
Danced around.
They have Pizza Pizza on every intersection in Toronto.
Pizza Pizza is a big thing. Did you get the garlic dipping sauce?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, because it was like a why not?
Yeah, it tastes like cardboard, but the dipping sauce is where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Great town you're from.
Great town I'm
great
from.
Town you're
great
town you're from. In
pizza.
Fact, the jokes just pour right
they
off.
They really taste like cardboard. Okay, you're such an asshole.
When you do your voiceover reel, mm-hmm. here's my tip. Do like put in the real stuff that you've done in cartoons, and also fake shit. Well, put in stuff from your podcast, obviously. Okay. And whatever else you've, if you were ever like arrested for indecent exposure and it got on the news, pull the audio, okay, put it on there.
And then it was assault, and it was in Canada. So,
where you're going, you'll never take me alive. Put that in the reel.
Yeah.
But then also,
it wasn't like, me.
Record shit for the reel and make it sound like you got that you were in a Lexus commercial.
Oh, I
get the script for a Lexus ad or something, and just be like, the Lexus 45i. It's a powerful driving machine. And then you like a car commercial, asshole.
Throw it
in.
Okay.
They won't throw it in. It's not like the FBI where they're going to background check your voiceover career before they hire you.
That'd be crazy. They're like, we need to hear the exact run. We need to see the exact paperwork when you did it.
I'm calling from Time Warner. I have some very interesting questions, Ms. Toa.
Okay. Let's get into the ballad stuff.
Sure.
Now I'm joking. You broke your arm, is what you said.
Yes. Big. This was in the pre-interview.
Yeah, the pre-interview.
Before we got on camera. We were talking backstage.
Because I was explaining that this podcast is about body stuff, and you were not loving that.
Well, no, I didn't understand.
I was like, it's in the name. It's disgusting.
You know me. I just show up and start talking about Toronto on any podcast I go to.
That's literally what you do. Because I feel like every comic has a body issue or something that they don't talk about all the time.
Right. Well, I think I'm fat, and then I don't think, and then I'm not. I'm not, but I am. In certain angles, I'm like, come on.
I think that's, don't we all feel like that all the time?
Right. But also, I wear it well.
You wear it well.
I really package
in wanted to have sex with you before.
I really package in the pork.
And you were not, because he keeps overpassing it.
Why would you?
I'm attracted to you and Todd. I like gay men, apparently. I like gay men.
Yeah, but did you even go to the effort of doing like a Shakespeare, like dress and drag and try to make it happen? Why didn't you even try?
Oh, it's simple.
And introduce yourself as some other guy.
Yeah, Steve.
A mustache and the fucking.
I'm Don Valley.
Now be a guy. And I run into you.
Well.
Oh my God.
Give me the glass.
Does anybody know this guy? What's your name?
Hold on.
Oh my God. You look like my friend Don Valley.
Hey.
Hi.
James. Hi.
Yeah. I'm just here having. Yeah. Ooh. I've never seen you at this gay bar.
Big mitts on you.
I used to work in warehouses.
Off of me.
You don't know how to hit on a guy.
You're right. I don't.
Here's what you do.
Gay or straight, I don't know how
here's,
to do it.
Here's what you do. You just, you start, and you shame their body a little bit.
Shame.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, fatso.
Negative energy, and then they want you when you give them a compliment.
Okay, is that how it works?
Yeah, that's what the real players do. Yeah. Now, I'm gonna have to take you on like a pickup artist trip to like teach you how to be a fake guy who gets laid.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good series. Mm-hmm. We should pitch, you're like, we should pitch that.
It's like a Goldie Hawn movie.
I want to hit on a gay man, and you teach me the ways.
Okay, all right. That's like a latter day
birdcage.
It's like the birdcage. It's like Tootsie. We're ready for this movie. It's so dumb. I can't picture anyone else but you in the lead role. That's actually not a bad
idea. It's not an idea.
All right. Okay,
We've got it.
Give me a interesting story by idea. What do you call it? A story. Give me a story by and nothing else by credit.
Okay. Not even making the credits at the end.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not going to return the phone call.
So you're like, this idea is done. You broke your arm.
Yeah. Oh, you'll love this.
I can't wait.
It was during the pandemic, in the dark days.
Dark days.
In the summer of 2020.
Okay.
And I was so bored.
You did it on purpose.
No, but I
had something to do.
You know, I'd gotten into this rhythm of like, I had my I always have my backpack.
You always have your backpack. What's in there?
Well, papers, you know, business papers.
Yeah. Just carrying around your full W-9s ready to go.
No, I have like an extra jacket. I have like chapstick.
Big chapstick.
Hold on, it's windy out.
Okay. Oh my! Honestly, I've only ever seen you with a backpack, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They're gonna bury me. They're gonna bury me with a backpack.
You're gonna need a
second. But then, like, face up. Yeah. Face up. It's like you'll have a big lump under your back and be like. And they won't be able to cross the hands. They'll be on the straps like this.
And you'll have holes in your shirts from all the tags you cut off.
Or if they're like, well, it's a little too lumpy, turn them over and they'll be buried. Open casket, but face down. Why is no one buried that way?
I bet somebody is. Somebody has to be.
Bury him face down.
You should do that.
Make him grab his own dick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nobody would know.
Some of these guys.
But the guy who has to do that, he was like, why are we doing this?
Well, some of these guys, you know, in the morgues and stuff, there's like a little scandal that comes out where they harvest, there's this underground culture where they harvest the chemicals from your brain, DMT. Some of the morgue guys will harvest DMT and like do it recreationally.
No.
Yes.
From your head?
So they're probably playing lots of other jokes too.
Like, yeah, yeah, real fun bits.
Let's stitch his foreskin to his fucking balls. Nobody's ever going to notice.
They'd probably put me fingering my own ass just for something fun.
And then in 20,000 years, some archaeologist finds it and be like, this is the only specimen that survives. Yes, she must have been a fertility goddess.
Okay, so you broke your arm.
Yeah, so okay. Let me set the stage for you. So it was boring, and I had gotten into this in my backpack. I would buy beers, you know, and walk around. Like, I would, like, okay. Walk all day or, like, for, like, 3 hours at night and just have a bunch of tall boys. And if somebody I knew had a backyard or a front yard, maybe I would, like, pop in and visit, like,
okay.
Johnny Appleseed, okay. You know, like, hello, traveler. Your old neighbor. Thought I'd see how you're navigating the pandemic.
Piss warm beer is all shaken up from the walk.
Sure, yes. But yeah, there was okay. Very little else to do.
Okay.
And so, like, I was only taking my little walks, and then things started to reopen, and I would carefully do that kind of thing, wash my hands a lot and stuff. Okay. But it was boring as shit. Mm-hmm. And then I started, you know, I was taking bird scooters around. Like, why not? Mm. Zipping around on bird scooters all over Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
And so there's one night, and this was an Aquarius full moon. Here we are in Aquarius time. Like, the sun is in Aquarius now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It was recently my birthday, so here we are.
Okay, there, happy birthday.
And then this was a full moon in Aquarius, like, in late July, early August, summer of 2020. So it was two nights where the moon was appearing full in the constellation Aquarius. Now, to me, with nothing else going on except like calendars and magic, I was like, oh, this will be two nights in a row. And one night I went on a little bird scooter trip down to El Cid, and I went eastbound, and I started going to, like, because I hadn't done a show in, like, at this point, like, 9 months or something.
Okay.
And, or whatever, 6 months. And so I was like, I'm going to go to all the venues down Sunset Boulevard that I remember doing comedy at. And, like, I went to, like, Akbar and El Cid all the way down into Silver Lake. And then came home, and that was a fun ride, and I did that on a bird scooter, and I was like, this was wonderful. I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow night, except I'll go west and do all the venues that I really loved performing at. And then, as if on cue, that night, the Meltdown comic, what had been the Meltdown comic book store, which had closed a couple years before, caught on fire. And did you ever perform at the Meltdown shows, or do they predate your time?
No, I did like one.
It was this great show that happened in right on the border with West Hollywood, and it was Kumail Nanjiani and Jonah Ray, and it was a really fun show that I did all the time. And that had gone away, and then the building caught on fire, and it was on Twitter. Like, people were like, "Oh my God, the Meltdown building is on fire!" And I was like, well, I was going to go do my bird scooter ride out to some venues anyway. So I got some beers in a backpack, mm-hmm. and I did not drink any. I just had them for later. I got on a bird scooter, zipped over to the Meltdown Comics.
On Sunset?
On Sunset.
Wow. On the road?
Yeah, but it's not a lot of traffic at this time. Right. Not a lot of people doing anything, especially after 7 p.m. And pandemic. And then I got there, took some pictures. The fire was already out. But I, like, you know, I found meaning in little things.
Okay.
Where it's like, okay, there's some street art here. I'll take pictures of this. Anyway, then I get food. I eat food out on the street. Same bird scooters there. I'm like, you know what? I'll take it back rather than walk all the way home this time. I'm going to get closer to my neighborhood. I hadn't had a single, I didn't drink at all. So that, I did have a backpack full of undrunk beers.
Okay.
Which was hard to explain later. But I got back on the same bird scooter. I felt kind of fulfilled. I'm a good bird scooter rider, by the way. I'm not one of these people that's like, whoa, and like, ooh, red light, didn't see it. Like, I'm very good.
Okay.
Like, you see a bump.
What is very good? Okay.
Well, when you see a bump, you don't just go over it upright. You like a surfer or a skateboarder, you brace back for the bump.
Okay.
Ka-goomp, and then you're into it. Eyes looking in every direction.
Helmet?
Right? Of course not a helmet. No one ever wears a helmet. No, but everything short of that, right?
Okay.
And I'm very conscientious, just like I am.
Headphones?
No.
Okay.
But I'm a pedestrian all the time, so I'm very careful with cars and stuff like that. And riding this bird scooter 7-5 miles back to where I live. And full moon, I'm loving it. This is funny. I've got the Aquarius shirt.
Okay.
I'm singing the song with the moon, loving my life, talking out loud, being like, it's going to be okay. Singing like, this is the dawning of the age. Full moon, bright light, and then there's a part I'm going down.
Is this homeless man with a bunch of beers in the backpack having the night of his life?
Undrunk beers.
Like, literally, you must have looked crazy if anyone saw you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But no one saw me.
Okay.
And then, but there, if you know Fountain going through Hollywood, there's a part of Fountain that doesn't go all. There's a school there. So you have to make a right turn and a left turn and a left turn. So you have to go around the school and then Fountain continues.
Yes.
So I was at that part. And Fountain, well lit, nicely paved, no traffic.
Yeah.
So I'm just full speed, no cars. There's almost no cars. And I was literally thinking to myself, I need to do this more often because there's no cars on the road. There's nothing dangerous. I'm zipping around, singing the song, harmony and understanding, and then zip. Because the part that's not Fountain, that's the detour that you have to take around the school, was not as well lit as Fountain. Because it's a different department where it's like, well, it's not a major street.
Okay.
We don't need street lights. The pavement can be gravel. So there was
gravel.
Well, there was a construction site.
Okay.
I went back like a couple days after all this to check it out. And there were so many things that it could have been. There were potholes and like construction rocks that had rolled. You know the kind of construction site where they're not going to finish anytime soon.
There's
a fence that's bulging out with like rubble. So there was like a rubble that had like spread into the street and potholes and branches. And so there was like nothing but obstacles.
Yeah. And there's that lip. I know what you're talking about, right when you're going the lip when you're going around the school. There's a big indent too.
Oh, and they have like the steel plates where there's a hole under it or something.
Yeah.
So there was like five or six things that could have been it, but whatever it was, the wheel hit something. And so I was brought down by contact with the ground. There was no car that menaced me at all this time. It was literally just, it jerked the wheel to the left, and I'm going full speed, baby. We're going 17 miles an hour. And so and then your life flashes before your eyes at 17 miles an hour like that. And
so you land right, are you over the handlebars or are you the side? Oh my
Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, I mean, I've never seen anyone use the mic the way you are.
Should I Freddie Mercury?
What is this?
Do I Freddie Mercury this from now on? I'm sorry.
Psychotic. This guy's
been. Keep rolling.
No,
keep rolling.
You're acting as if
make
you're on Broadway
laugh,
right
make
now.
Make him laugh. Da na na da na 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 na.
Yeah, I've never seen a man move so much in a podcast in my entire life. It's
all
his one man show.
All right.
It's his one man show.
I gotta dial this back.
in a pot.
I gotta dial
if you
back.
Break your arm again doing these act outs, I'll lose my fucking mind. I swear to God. If you fucking reenact and okay.
So
oh my God. Oh
so,
God.
So I know I'm gonna hit. I know it's gonna be an injury. That's the first thing you think is like this is gonna be painful. And I it was a split, it was like less than a second, and I landed with my arm out.
Like straight out.
Yeah, and I landed with my arm out and then kind of hit my left side in the torso.
Okay.
And then also my face scraped the ground.
Okay, yeah.
So there was like a scraped face. My glasses were bent but not destroyed. Okay. And then
were you wearing sunglasses?
No.
I was like, sunglasses at night. It was Don Valley.
No, my real.
He was going for a spin. God damn it! There's... No, don't put it back on.
There's loose valley. Traffic wise, if you're riding a bird scooter, watch out for gravel. Watch out for rubble in the street. Yeah, speaking of rubble in the street, that's a hit from Thin Lizzy. Coming up here next on Don Valley.
Okay.
So I hit the ground. It knocked the wind out of me.
Okay. Are you hitting the ground? Where's the scooter? Scooter skidded off now. Scooter's out of sight.
Scooter's off to the left.
Okay.
And then I'm flip
okay.
And so it's 1, 2, 3. And knocked the wind out of me, and the ribs hurt way more than the arm at first. And I was like, oh, fuck, I've broken several ribs.
Yeah.
Which I've heard, that's when it ended up not being broken. But I've heard that like a bruised rib hurts more than a broken arm.
And you can't do anything about it.
So I can't breathe. It's
yeah.
Ooh.
But you're still,
Dawning of the Age of Aquarius. Let the sun shine. So I'm able to sit up. So I'm like first instinct is like, don't die in a street, right?
Yes.
So like, don't be in traffic when someone wheels around in a BMW. So I kind of like sit up, and this guy rides by on a bicycle. He saw it happen or saw the aftermath or something. He rides by on a bicycle and he goes like, you okay, man? And I went, and he just kept going. So he just wanted
to help you at all.
He wanted to hear if I was going to live like another hour. That's all that he was. That's the kind of angel that God sent.
Where was
moment.
He fucking going at that hour, at that time? Help the man out. You're still on the ground?
I'm on the ground, sitting on the ground with like a backpack, glasses, a hat, and like the bird scooter on its side with the light still on, and it's going like, it's by this point it's going like bunk 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 bunk.
If somebody came over and stepped over you and got on and rode away, I would literally, hey, you done with this? And just bikes off.
So then I get up.
Oh my God.
I get up, my wrist is swollen and bleeding.
Oh fuck,
a little bit. And then there's bleeding here in my side and my face. I looked in the phone, you know, and I see the face is bleeding, and I was like, fuck, I have to go to the hospital. I have to see if it's, you know, broken, which it probably is. And I had never broken a bone in a major way before. Just little, like, broken toes and fingers that you just kind of like, well, I'll be, I'll just live like as a warped person for the rest of my life.
You ever do the thing where what I would do is just tie my fingers together with tape. And then I'm like, that's the brace.
Right. That's, I mean, I played sports and I had lots of those kinds of injuries where in hindsight you're like, I guess it was a broken bone.
Yeah.
But I kind of like stumbled to my feet, grabbed a few things, and then I was like, I'm gonna have to go to the hospital. And then I realized like, I don't want to go backtrack to Cedars-Sinai, which is the wrong way, like further than I was already. And I'm like, well, I'll go to Hollywood Presbyterian by my house, but it's still a long way. And I'm like,
don't tell me we got on the bird scooter again.
I got on the bird scooter.
No,
And I couldn't even, this arm like didn't work. But you have to use the right arm to operate it.
Oh my God.
And I didn't want to wait for a lift and with blood coming off of me. Yeah, I didn't want to call an ambulance, and it would have taken an hour and a half to walk.
Yeah, no, you're not walking.
So I was like, I'm going to take the bird scooter. And it was the same ride. Like the clock was still going. The Bird Corporation thought that I had just stopped to like do an errand at one in the morning or something. And so I take, and now it's a lot less happy, the second half of the journey. And I'm like, my thumb doesn't work, so I've rigged it instead of the thumb, like the this next to your thumb to press the button to go. So, but so it's going like, and that's how I'm like pulsing down the street on this bird scooter.
Oh my god!
I don't know if the bird scooter itself was injured. I didn't report anything wrong because that's the last thing I need.
Yeah, you don't give a shit.
But the like the bird scooter may have been itself going like, you know.
Also, people throw them in the fucking sea, so I think yours is fine.
Right? There's like human sacrifices, but with bird scooters that they just throw into
a
peat bog.
I've seen them on the 101 and shit. So you get to Hollywood Presbyterian.
I get to Hollywood Presbyterian. I start taking pictures of myself because I think how cool it is that I made it this far. I send some polite text messages to my close friends and family, like, I have injured myself. I'm going to the hospital. And this is
polite.
This is the time when COVID is like, this is when they're like, the hospitals are overflowing. And this is all I'm hearing.
Yeah.
The only thing you knew was whatever you do, don't go to a hospital. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I have to.
I'm bleeding.
So I went in, and of course, they have a tent outside. And they're like, and you don't go into the hospital. You're there, a tent outside. And they're like, sign in. And I'm like, I'm right-handed. So I make this like this X, like some kind of like Andrew Jackson, like some illiterate president, you know, and like a log cabin guy, and sitting there waiting, and you wait a long. I mean, it was like 3 a.m. There at 1 a.m. It was like 3 a.m. Like,
sitting outside still the whole time.
Outside in a tent. And I asked the guy, I was like, are there COVID patients here? And he was like, I'm not allowed to tell you that. It's a HIPAA violation. I'm like, I didn't tell him this, but I'm like, it's not. No, it's not. You can tell me in the aggregate if people have COVID at this hospital or not.
Literally.
But I was like, I guess I should be extra careful. And he was like, you should always be extra careful. And I'm like, I don't need your high school health counselor bullshit right now. I just want to know if I'm going into a room with a lot of people dying or not.
Yeah, literally.
But then I guess I kind of gathered that they were on a different floor. They had like, they had a floor for COVID patients and then a floor for like midnight morons. Yeah. Like, and so I'm in the emergency room, and there's an Armenian doctor, which is good. I trust the Armenian doctor. He's like, what the hell were you doing on a bird scooter at 1 a.m.? And I was like, my best answer was like, well, when I left, it was more like 11. And
like, I was going to have some beers when I got home. But.
Right. And then that had to be accounted for. He's like, I noticed you have some beers here. And I was like, but I didn't have any. You don't smell any of my breath. And I was like, okay. So waited. They didn't have to do the operation, but I had to go back. And I was in a sling for a temporary soft cast for a week.
So what did they say? What exactly did you break?
It's called a Barton's fracture.
Okay.
It's Barton's fracture. It happens a lot. It's the bone. It's this bone closer to your thumb.
Okay.
On the if you have your hand like this, the side that faces you, and you know how like a bone, like a chicken bone, at the end of it has like two lumps.
Yeah.
And so it's like basically one of them goes. It like clicks forward. It kind of rips at the tip of the bone.
Okay. So could you see it pulsing out?
No, it didn't stick out, thank God. Okay. But it hurt way more on the other side than it did on the actual broken side. And I was like, I kept trying to like second guess the doctors. Like, did you check this side? Because it hurts more. And he's like, yeah, we did. We checked both sides of the arm.
I think we know with the...
Right. And, you know, I had to ask double check questions like, are you sure they aren't broken, the ribs? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, we checked that too.
Everything's fine.
We have equipment here. I was all night in the hospital. There's an appointment to go to another doctor to actually get it. And if I had not gone, it would have healed, but it would have healed like in a mangled, terrible. I would have been like,
claw hand?
Yeah, I would have been like one, like this kind of comedian. Like, like a Shakespeare character. Like,
you would work well with that though, if you had a claw hand. Come on.
Well,
it could be Don Valley, but just put the hat and glasses.
I'm
on the
exaggerating,
hand.
But it will heal the wrong way if you don't get the surgery. So, the next morning, the explosion happened in Beirut. I got out of the hospital and then like got home and then I was like, oh great, there was an explosion in Beirut. That's like, nice okay, to see.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, world. And then I had to learn, I had to do the whole thing where you learn to do everything with one hand. Mm. Like a certain part of my body wasn't bathed for like 3 months because I just couldn't reach it.
Are you in cast or sling?
And you know, the rest of my body hadn't been bathed for three years before that.
Here we go.
What are you saying?
So you're in the sling, you go back to the appointment, you get the surgery.
Yeah, I go to the doctor who didn't want to communicate much at all. And you start to ask the standard second-guessing questions like, I don't want you to treat me like a normal idiot that comes in here. I want you to give me the real medical help that you're capable of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I know
they love that.
A lot of doctors do go like, yeah, get in and get out of here. And then...
Do they?
Get in and get out. Slop, slop, slop. Stitch them together. And I want them to make sure that they know, like, I want to ask a lot of questions so you know that I am at a lawsuit danger if you stitch my arm on backwards or something.
Okay.
But then it was the surgery and then the pain and the swelling and the post-surgery and the cast. Oh, it hurts so much.
Drugs? What'd they give you?
The incision to do the surgery hurt way more than the injury itself.
They put you out.
They did. And I had never experienced that before. I was like babbling. You'll notice when it starts. And then I think my last words I remember were like, oh, you've already started. And it's to some guy, like a Coen Brothers movie, and some guy's in your face going, blink, blink. Yeah, we've already started.
Is there a scar?
Yeah, there's a big, long scar here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
And,
your bird scooter scar.
Then I had this cast for whatever it was. It was like 6 weeks in the cast. Okay. And so like I lost my whole summer. And I'm normally a real beach hound.
You're a real beach boy. When I think about Adomian, I think you're just
you don't know me.
Out on the beach.
You have no idea. This is my life in the summer. I'm like a beach body.
Are you?
I go to Venice, Santa Monica, Marina Del Rey all the time. What the?
Disgusting.
That's disgusting.
Venice is repugnant.
Oh, I'm
it's
sorry.
A sandbox.
I'm sorry it's not the St. Lawrence Seaway.
It's the St. Lawrence Market, first of all.
I'm sorry it's not.
No, the Toronto waterfront's disgusting.
Lake Ontario for you up there.
It's worse. Lake Ontario is absolutely worse.
You're like throwing a beach ball around underneath a Billy Bush airport. Oh, I've been there.
Are you swimming?
I swim in the surf, but I couldn't do it that summer, so it was really boring. I remember also I had this slicing pain when I first got back from the hospital that night. You know how like people will come around you and be like, James, we'll pick you up from the hospital, make sure you're like family, close friends, whatever you need, we'll bring you groceries. But like the first moment when everybody's kind of like, well, we're done. Yeah. And you realize like, oh, everybody's been helping me is exhausted. Everybody kind of like the first time you're just alone and you're almost like, and it's an intense pain. And I'm like, well, I'm going to like, I watched Ken Burns' Civil War documentary because I was like, I thought this idea and it turned out to be true. Like, the hacking off of the limbs and the injuries and all that stuff, I'm like, it'll take my mind off the actual pain
psychotic.
That I have here. So yeah, the thing that helped me the most was the parts of the Civil War documentary where they're like, there were 30,000 men at the Battle of Antietam who had to have their ankles and wrists removed. And you're like, oh, thank God, it's not just me.
Thank God, I can finally relate to somebody.
Yeah.
I can finally sit here and... Oh my God! Okay,
and then
psychotic.
Yeah, and then I learned how to wallow in a bathtub.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
like some kind like the Fantasia hippo, but with like a cast.
Drinking those beers. Did you ever drink those fucking beers in your bag?
Anyway, did I drink the beers?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Because it was as soon as I don't like the idea of being addicted to opiates. So as I did them for like one day and then I stopped.
Wow.
Because I didn't want to You know, yeah, I remember I read Johnny Cash's autobiography one time, and he was like, I'm in a lot of pain and I don't take pills because I had an addiction problem before.
You're like, I'm
so, well. So I was like, I'm going to be like Johnny Cash. And so I
sat in the pain.
I got off the strong medication, and I was just on the whatever else they had given me. Strong Tylenol
T3,
or something.
Whatever. Yeah.
And
wiping your ass, your left hand.
Learn to do it all, babe.
You should have got a fucking bidet.
Learn to do. I can't. Yeah, but I don't know. You can't just get a bidet.
You still have to dry your ass. You're right.
I did have to buy a microwave and have it delivered because then I realized I couldn't cook. Oh, this was fun. I was cooking more back then during the pandemic and stuff. And then I realized, like, I want to cook eggs or something. And without a second hand, you're trying to cook eggs, and then the thing just keeps sliding around. You can't, so it's like you'd have to turn the burner on in the corner so that it had nowhere else to go.
And how violently are you cooking your eggs? Well, what are you doing?
Oh, you.
No, honestly, what are you?
Try it. Try it with one hand.
I will. I put it on there. I heat them up. I just move it around.
Well, does your skillet have like a brace that keeps the thing from moving?
No, but what are you? How many times are you flipping? What are you doing here?
If you want to flip it at all and you don't have a second hand, it's going to scoot the skittle around on the stovetop. And so that was fun. Also, washing dishes. I already get mad at inanimate objects. I'm known for that. Like I'm the guy that if there's a cabinet or something, it's like if it hits my, it's like fuck you. I don't treat people that way, but I do treat cabinet doors that way.
Dad?
Yeah, exactly.
Peter Christopher Tolev, is this you?
So like doing dishes with one hand and like it's like I was very proud of myself. I figured out how to make spaghetti even with the boiling pasta and stuff. I boiling water with one hand, I'm an athletic person. I'm able to turn
your beach body
a large pot of boiling water and drain it with one hand. That's what I'm about. But then washing the dishes, it was basically just chasing large pots around like soapy water, and it was so loud that my neighbor was like, "I don't know what's happening. I have this." I don't care. I'm going to say it. My neighbor is a British cunt. Okay. She is a downstairs neighbor, and she complains about everything, and she complained about a lot more during this time. Uh-huh. In fact, one of my friends was over, and she cornered one of my friends and was like, he's always been loud, but it seems like he's somehow gotten louder.
You're like, yeah, bitch, I have one fucking arm.
I have one arm. And but that did when you're washing dishes with one hand, it does sound like you're trying to be loud. it sounds like the dishes has come alive and decided to have a pool party.
Okay. Oh my god.
And then I got the cast off.
Did you smell it?
Yeah, I don't. What do you want me to masturbate to it? It smelled bad. I didn't want to dwell on it.
You took it up with your cock in it. I just asked if you fucking sniffed it.
Steph,
what the hell?
Steph Tolev.
I just want to know.
Steph Tolev, cast hound.
If there's one thing about me, you got to know, I like to sniff a good cast.
Yeah.
Everyone. You got to give it a waft. That's it. Just want to make sure you sniffed it. That's it. It's bad. It's not good. Sour. Was it shriveled? Was it smaller?
That's the thing. My arm was shriveled. Yeah. And I had been vegetarian for that year. Like, I stopped eating meat August of 2019 because I had a bad meal in San Francisco, which... big surprise. Sorry, SF, but
the meal ruined it.
Yeah, it ain't the 1890s no more. There's no Escoffier restaurants going in the downtown area anymore. So I had a really bad dinner. I went to vegetarian. I was like, fuck this. I'm going to go vegetarian until I feel like otherwise. And it was a whole year, like even the beginning of the pandemic and everything. I was just like eating vegetarian. And the cast came off after what? 2 months, I guess, since the injury, which was, I guess, a pretty quick healing time. The cast came off and my arm was like this. And my literally the first thing I thought was Korean barbecue, beef, lots of it. Like, There's this part of the brain that was like, you have to eat a lot of beef.
To get, and your arm's back now.
Yeah, because I killed a lot of animals.
Only Korean barbecue.
I thank them for their proteins.
Okay, we have to wrap up pretty soon.
I was just getting started.
Well, what the
heck? There were complications from the surgery.
Is there somebody else after three?
No, I'm teasing. Okay. I'm teasing. Of course, okay. We have to wrap
it
up.
Well, I want to quickly ask.
I got things to do. I got things to do at 3 o'clock.
What's the worst body thing you've ever heard?
The worst body thing I've ever heard. Well, you know, it gets pretty bad. Boiling alive is pretty bad.
Have you heard of somebody boiling alive?
Well, like in the Middle Ages. If they didn't like your religion, then spoke up about it, they would like throw you in boiling oil or something.
Oh, I don't know. Oil? Yeah. I don't know that. That's scary.
It's easier to boil.
That's how they boil the body. Okay,
but you're like a condition that just happens on its own?
Just like something haunting you've heard.
I'm not haunted by anything.
It just burned scooters. Wait, what do you think is the funniest way you can die? You'll have a good answer for this.
There's a lot of funny ways to die. I guess...
you personally.
Laughing to death happens, and that would be really... like, that makes me think that you're in like a Dom DeLuise movie or something. I can't.
And then you almost died right there doing that.
Undeniably, that would be very funny.
Yeah.
That like really laughing funny. To death.
Yes, okay.
Which, obviously, most of the time when you die, it's either what really kills you is heart failure or heart attack.
Yeah.
So everything else just kind of leads to that, really, usually. A strung out. Okay, yes, a strung out, a long, like a long... to be slowly ground to death from the toes up, that would be the worst way to go. Is that what you want?
Yeah, that's what I want. God damn it. Funny is you're saying these graphic things. Okay, James, where can people find you, for God's sakes?
Well, I'm all stitched up. I'm all healed and ready to go. It works just like normal.
Oh, God. And I'm off for saying you sniffed the cast. And you're finishing this up. We're going to be able to find
you. I had a physical therapist, and that was the first. I was like, doctor, will I ever jerk again?
James Adomian jerks off. Go follow him on Instagram. What's it?
Instagram at J Adomian.
Okay.
What do I have coming up? I'm going to be at the Savannah College of Art and Design Festival in Atlanta to do a panel for Harley Quinn.
Oh.
I'm going to be at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
Me too!
Great.
Yay! We can hang out. You're like, I'm not going anywhere.
I've got dates coming in Fort Collins, Colorado, and Honolulu, Hawaii.
Ooh.
And more to be announced whenever I fix my broken website.
Okay, well, there we go. Thank you for coming on. Guys, come see me live. I always try to say my dates. I'll be in South by Southwest. I'll be in Birmingham, Alabama, March 17th, 18th, and then I'll be in Kansas City the weekend after that. Come. Follow Steph Infection. Watch the full videos on YouTube. They're on my YouTube. Thanks, All Things Comedy. My new producer, Meg. Shout out to Meg for fucking coming, and Aaron. And bye. I don't know how to end these.
You're great.